Hey, ladies. So today I have something special for you. We're changing it up. I have been going back, well, not me, my amazing team has been going back and asking some of the other podcasts that I've actually been on if we could utilize that interview on Mama's in Control. So throughout the weeks to come, you may hear some interviews that I've done in the past with other people. So let's dive into today's episode. I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think.
Episode 95 with Heather Chauvin. Welcome back, everyone. This is your number one source for inspiring content from people who are putting a purpose to their passion and truly living a life ever forward. Conversations and messages that will take your fitness, nutrition, and mindset to the next level. I am your host, Chase Schoening. This is Ever Forward Radio. I am just going to give a full disclosure from the beginning. First of all, welcome everyone, but here we go. Episode 95, disclosure. This one got me in my feels. I'm going to give a quick backstory for maybe some new listeners here. If you don't know, or maybe you've forgotten, the meaning behind Everford came from a message, a mantra, a family belief system from our late father, who unfortunately lost his battle in 2005 from an 18-month terminal illness. He was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, and this was something that really took a toll on our family. It brought us together, of course, but it left really unique scars in all of us. Myself, my brother, my sister, my mom, my stepmom, my grandmother, anyone and everyone who knew my father was to love my father. And so this one, it's taken me a long time to get to a point where even talking to my friends and family, I'm comfortable and was able to work through my own traumatic disorder, my traumatic stress disorder from it. And that's a topic for a whole other episode. It took me the better part of a decade to just to be able to watch a movie that had someone in a hospital, to go to my father's gravesite, to talk about his passing, to talk about his sickness. I would get panic attacks. I would completely freak out, and I would just go to that dark place. And it was through this self-development work and through sharing it with others and through talking to like-minded people and, yes, a lot of professional help in and out of seeing psychologists, seeing therapists, with just standalone myself, with other members of my family. It took a long time to get through that work. And true to the concept of what today's topic is going to be about, it's much more familial. Heather talks about what it's like specifically, you know, to be a mom and to establish that legacy for your children. But to anyone listening who has a family, who maybe has some significant memories to their upbringing, this episode is for you. Certainly, if you have children, I hope that you take note of Heather's amazing message and her unique way of just conveying how to do your life's work, how to take care of yourself so that, like the old adage is, you know, you can't help the person next to you on the plane if you don't put on your own oxygen mask, how to do that for your family, how to do that for your children. And in this episode, Heather pulled some stuff out of me. We got deep. We shared some of my backstory, and I wasn't just talking about this experience with my family. I wasn't just talking about being back there with my dad. I was there, and I was in my feels, and you're going to hear me get a little emotional on this. So, you know, again, I have no shame in this. I have absolutely no problem. I will tell anybody and everybody, I'm an emotional dude, all right? When I feel things, I feel them. And this is definitely one of those cases. So if you're listening to this, you know, in the car, maybe grab a napkin. You know, it's not super emotional, not super sappy, but I just want to give you guys a heads up that this one may catch you a little off guard. It certainly did for me. And to just give a kind of quick resume on Heather, just so you know from where she is coming and her authority on these topics, Heather is in mental health. She worked in it. She worked in government agencies supporting and understanding children's behaviors within high-risk families and even trauma situations. As a social worker, she got to see firsthand that hurt people hurt people. So her goal here in this message and in truly her life's work is to heal your children, to heal your family, and even your world. But in order to do that, you have to first heal yourself. You have to do the work necessary. And we have certainly talked about that here on the podcast before. In order to truly live a life ever forward, we have to do the work necessary so that we can best show up for the people and situations that matter most in our life. So whether or not you are single, in a committed relationship, married, have kids, don't have kids, never want kids, or thinking about it, I really hope you listen to this message to its end, through its entirety. It's really special, and I'm so proud and happy to share Heather's work here on the podcast, and she even is a podcast of herself. You can go check her out. Her show is Mom is in Control, more oriented around the family again, the mom, but certainly a message worth listening to. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, boys and girls even, children, families, go ahead and gather around the microphone, gather around the speaker, and let's enjoy what Heather has to share with us here on Everforward Radio.
Yeah, it's French, so it's like Chauvin, but no one ever gets it right. So that's better than what people typically do.
Well, so I can't, maybe I'll throw in like a Heather, oui, oui, hon, hon, sacré bleu.
Yeah,
that's the correct pronunciation.
And I don't even speak French, so.
Oh, well, then I could butcher it and you would never know, maybe. You know?
Exactly.
So Heather Chauvin, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Everforward Radio.
I'm so excited to be here, Chase. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just saying that this is, I think, going to be a really cool, really unique engagement, experience, conversation, because you have such a unique angle and, you know, and being on this platform. And like I was just describing to you, how we use this as a way to help others live a life ever forward. One of those ways is, you know, being role models, being parents for the lineage behind us, leaving that legacy, which I was just sharing with you, is such a huge part of Everforward and our origin. So before we dive into that, I would love for you to introduce yourself. Please introduce yourself, who you are, why are we talking, and what's your most important work right now?
Yeah, so I feel like that is it's a book, right? That whole question can be wrapped up in a book.
Isn't that the worst question to ask? Who are you?
I know. Who are you? What are you doing? And how do you help the world? I became this person because of my own struggles or challenges. I like the word challenge now because a struggle feels like I can't do anything about it, but I love to challenge myself. And this whole journey, I mean, my podcast, my brand is called Mom in Control. And I started because I felt out of control as a mother. My boys are 13, I always have to remember, 13, 8, and 5. And it was when my oldest was born. I was 18 when I had him, which means I know he's not going to have children in like 5 years, but I could be a grandma in 5 years, which is really crazy to think about. But I already had that discussion
with
him.
That's some wild math, yeah.
I'm like, no, it's not happening. Don't you dare. But anyways, I remember looking at him and just going, things need to change. Because previously to that, I didn't have this sense of purpose in the world. I was your typical teenager. Heather's depressed. She's just sleeping all the time. Oh, you know, she's just being a teenager. I didn't have that drive, that motivation. And, you know, I'm not using my parents as an excuse or the role models that I had around me, but I didn't even know what that sense of what it meant to feel fully alive. Like, I didn't know what that was. Nobody around me. It was like, you grow up, you get educated, you get a job that you hate, you burn yourself to the ground, you pay the bills, and anything else is icing on the cake, which you do not deserve. And that was kind of the
essence. Scarcity mindset, fear mindset.
Yes. And that was the essence. And so when I became this parent, I'm reading all these parenting books and I'm getting this like, I'm like, not this. I don't want this. This is not who I want to be in the world. So I started blazing my own path. And one of my mantras that I didn't tell anybody and I didn't know what a mantra was then is I will never become a statistic. And it was like, oh, she's teen pregnancy. She's going to fail. You know, she'll be on government assistance, blah, blah, blah. And I just busted through every block that I possibly could from a place of anger. It didn't even act from a place of fear. It was like, I will show you, right? So I had that chip on
spite,
my shoulder.
Maybe.
Yes, yeah, spite. People see it as a strength now, but it was definitely from a place of like, I just need to get out of this hole. And my why at that point was clearly my son of, I never want you to feel the way that I felt as a teenager. So I get into social work and mental health, and here I am trying to figure out what's going on with my son's behavior. He was angry. He was anxious. And I'm like, okay, I'm educated in this. I have a degree in it. I work with professionals in the city who people are referred to, and I still can't figure out what the problem is. There's something going on here and missing. And I realized that everyone was so quick to judge, label. They had a theory, you know, why can't we answer why? I'm like, let's stop talking about the problem and create the action and solution to solve the problem. So that's when I jumped into meditation and mindfulness, of course, for my son, because he was the one who needed to meditate, not me. And I laugh and giggle all the time because I needed to fix his problem because I didn't understand how to feel in control of my own anger or anxiety. So I was projecting and mirroring my wounds onto him. And he was the one that was showing me this. And so as I kept growing and changing, I realized I was not fit to be an employee and I needed to become an entrepreneur. And never in my life did I want to own my own business because my father owned a family business and he was a workaholic, right? Just sunrise to sunset. And that was my identity with business, which was you need to burn yourself out. Your life is your business. So I thought, I'm a woman, I'm a mother. I can't do this. How can I be present for my children and my work? So then I jumped into this space of, okay, I'm going to figure this out on my own. And, you know, I got into hiring coaches and I'm doing the personal development work already feeling like I'm crazy, you know, like the black sheep, like nobody. I've always felt like that my whole life. But now I'm like, here I am on a mission to make a difference in these children's lives just because I wanted to help my son. And I'm hustling and I'm trying to figure it out. And then 4.5 years ago, Chase, I get diagnosed with cancer.
Oh no. I didn't read that.
Yes. So I did a TEDx talk called Dying to Be a Good Mother. And this was when you were telling me your story about your father. I'm like, this is where we'll connect.
This is where it hits. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So I did a TEDx talk and I titled it Dying to Be a Good Mother. So I was the typical woman who loved to be a martyr, right? Look at me. Look, I have these three boys, but look at me. I am so exhausted. I am so overwhelmed. Like, give me more gold stars for how much I am not taking care of myself. And I always knew that I was sick. And so I always, when I'm having this conversation, I'm very mindful to say, clearly I'm not a doctor, but there are preventative things that we can do, like not wait till the last possible second to go to the doctor. When your body is saying, knock, 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 pay attention to me. And I continuously told myself, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. I do not have time for this. So I'm in aches. I have aches and pains and I'm chronically fatigued and I'm getting night sweats and my weight is going down and all of these crazy things. My abdomen was so swollen. And apparently that part of your brain that goes into denial kicked in because my abdomen was so swollen and I must have probably started wearing bigger clothes, but this is like in the winter time.
Sure.
That people were starting to ask me when I was due. They're like, wow, you're pregnant. No. And I'm like, okay, if you think I'm pregnant, this is an issue. So I took a picture of my abdomen in the mirror on a side profile and I sent it to my sister-in-law, who's a physician. She doesn't live in the area. She said, get to the hospital ASAP. I'm like, okay, you're one of those doctors who's got to tell me what to do because, oh, you got to cut.
Doctor, of course you're going
to
tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to cut. You need to go to the clinic. I'm like, I got this. I'll just rub some essential oils on it. I'll drink my green smoothie. Everything will be fine. Cause there is this Eastern versus Western, right? Like, I think we need Absolutely. A little collaboration and non-judgment and go, you know what? I think everything was created and invented for a reason. We're just overutilizing some of these things now. So I go to Emerge, and this is the crazy part. My husband forced me to go, and I'm sitting there still with the belief that I do not deserve the space on this chair. Everyone here is way sicker than I am. They did a CT and blood work, and in emergency told me I had cancer. And there was this crazy confirmation that I already knew it.
No way.
Yeah. Like, you know, when your body says to you,
what is that? Yeah.
Yeah. When your body's like, yeah, I already knew.
Damn.
Yeah. So then that was the pivotal moment in where I'm at now, because I remember walking out of the hospital. It was 4 days before Christmas, and I looked up and I'm like, okay, I'm starting to believe in the universe. I grew up Roman Catholic, and that really burnt me from the word God. So I just looked up and I'm like, whoever you are, whatever you are, you finally got my attention. Finally, you had to give this to me to show me that I was going down the wrong path and that it wasn't sustainable. And that living in a place of survival mode as a mother, as a parent, is not going to serve you or your children or the next generation.
Wow. First of all, thank you for sharing that story. I'm sure at this point you've had some experience in sharing that. TEDx doesn't hurt getting onto a platform and working it out, you know, really making it more real to you. I think I found in this life that the more we can get it out of our system, help make it real, figure out what am I really afraid of? What am I not sharing with others? You know, how am I not allowing others to help me in this process? So first of all, hats off to you for that. I mean, that's such a big thing to share. I can certainly tell you that in my experience, sharing with you what I did about our dad, even probably 2 years ago, I would be extremely uncomfortable. You know, I went through, you know, I suffered, you know, even mild PTSD from those experiences, and I couldn't even be in a room, couldn't talk about it without just completely breaking down. So to share that experience on top of being a mom, on top of having to take care of other people, is huge. So many things in that story to unpack and dive deeper into. But one thing right out of the gate that I want to go back and revisit is that it's funny we talk about this. I was actually just filming a video earlier today and was talking about how we are such a product of our environment, physical environment. And I think the biggest part of that initially is, of course, our home environment. When we're going through toddler stages, when we begin to get mental cognition and develop memories and speech, those formidable years, I really think that is where so many of our habits and our mindsets and our beliefs get created and solidified. What would you say to your former self right now when you were bringing a child into the world, your first son? If you can know the exact moment when he's going to start remembering stuff so that, hey, this is where my son is going to develop his initial belief system. These are the first things he's going to remember. Maybe you already did. I don't know. What would you go back to do, or what did you do to make sure that having done the work yourself, you were helping build that environment as conducive as possible for your, for your son?
Yeah. So this is a really, really good question. And I'm probably going to answer it very unconventionally. There's something called epigenetics, and Bruce Lipton, do you know Bruce Lipton? Mm-hmm. He actually talks about the biology of belief. So how, you know, the beliefs that you carry while your child is in utero can actually be transmitted to the child. So it's like going back, right? It's like, where does this come? And epigenetics of what are my mother's beliefs were, my grandmother, and like past. So you can get so crazy out there. And I think in general, when it comes to parenting, there's a lot of shame of like, oh, I've already screwed up my children. It's like the second you find out you're pregnant or you're adopting a child, you're like, okay, I need to start that therapy fund, right? Alongside with their post-secondary education. Because even today, I don't even think I could go back and say something to myself and go, okay, Heather, you got to believe in yourself. You got to, you know, you got to take care of yourself. I mean, if I had to go back, it would say, your energy matters. Your energy matters and how you show up, how you think, how you feel, your belief systems matter. But how everything has unfolded, I wouldn't be who I am today. Like, I don't know if I would have gotten cancer. I don't know if it's like, there's always something bigger at play that there's, I believe I had to let go of a lot of that because, it really put me in this, like, do I have control over this? Did I manifest this? Did I cause this? And I always just think forward, right? Instead of thinking backwards, because that's why I got out of therapy. I used to be a therapist. I went to school to be a therapist. And I'm like, there's a point where I was done talking about the problems. I was done talking about the past. And I said, what do you want? How do you want to feel as a parent? Well, I want to feel energized. Great. What does that look like? Well, I probably need to change my eating. I probably need to work out. I probably need to be way nicer to myself, like in my mind. And I don't know where to start. Awesome. Let's create a plan. Let's create some tools and strategies. So I try not to go in the past that much, not from avoidance, but just from a place of it's done, it's over with, and I can't change it. So it's about forgiving it and moving on.
So beautiful answer.
That didn't answer your question.
No, you answered it the way that you needed to and what, and how you believe it to be true. So, I mean, I really, there's no right or wrong answer there. So I feel like I could develop a lot of questions. We could go for a long time here, but I'll keep conscious of your time and mine as well here, because I don't have kids yet. Been married for about 2 years now. We've kept the dog alive for about 5-6 years now, almost.
Awesome.
But you know, that's definitely in our future. And so many things you're talking about and sharing there is, you know, when that happens, you're like, all right, it's no longer about me. I have to provide, I have to develop, I have to love. This hasn't happened to me yet, so I could just be pulling things out of thin air. But what I believe to be true, where I think a lot of parents may already be failing, not their children, well, maybe ultimately their children, but themselves, is that initial mindset of it's no longer about me. I think a lot of parents, when that happens, when even maybe you find out you're pregnant, much less, you know, when the child comes into the world, but you stop doing the work for yourself. You stop taking care of yourself, put yourself on the back burner. And I may be a little ignorant to this. And I'm sure to some extent that that has to be true. Like maybe personal interests and hobbies and shit like that, you know, happens years later. But would you agree that that is maybe a fault or a slippery slope for parents in that wanting to pass on this thing that we talk about, legacy, and really creating the best environment for our children? Would you say that that's a gray area, slippery slope, where we stop taking care of ourselves, the parent stops taking care of themselves and only makes it about the child?
Yeah. And it's interesting. I had a few different conversations with people who don't have children yet, and it's like a taboo subject for them. Like, I can't talk about parenting because I don't have a child. And I get it. It's just like talking about privilege or something. You're like, I've never been someone who was of a different like ethnic background, so I can't talk from that space. And I feel like we need to start having more of these conversations. But from the parenting perspective, it's like, it's a, what you're observing in the culture, right? Like they're not really selling it to you really well. Like, hey, oh, how do you like having children? They're looking at you like, don't do it. Right.
And run.
Yeah, run. And then you're like, but why is everybody like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. So, I think, you know, as I keep developing my own message and voice and talking on my podcast and working with the women that I work with, I'm like, what am I uniquely doing? And why do I feel like I'm blazing my own path? And it's because I'm trying to change the culture of motherhood in general, because I can't speak from fatherhood, but I know my husband is starting to do that as well. And
I see parenting as this co-creation. And what I often find is when I'm going down the parenting aisle in the bookstore, because I'm in the process of writing a book, it's like how to get your child to, how to get them to listen to you, how to get them to, and I'm like, they just pretend that this is this own little category. And I'm like, guys, parenting is just a relationship. Talk to your child, whether they are 6 months old. Well, it's a little bit different because you're talking like a baby, but whether they are 2 years old or 20 years old, the same way you would want to be talked to, right? Because we have this old paradigm of authoritarian parent of like, I have the say and the power and you do not have a voice. And then the adults grow up and go, well, I never could use my voice because my parents never let me. So I'm shifting it as it's a co-creation. And I think part of that is because of my story that I needed to grow up as an adult. But then I realized that this is actually a healthy way to parent. I don't have the answers, but I can be your spiritual guide and coach and help you solve your own problems. I don't need to fix you. I don't need to take it away because you are your own being and you're going to have fear and you're going to have some anxiety and you're going to have ups and downs. And I can just sit here and hold space for you and help guide you, but I can't do the work for you. I can't overcompensate. I can't hover. And so you learn so much about yourself through the process. And I always say to people, it's a co-creation and it's a relationship. And you have to remember that rather than how do I get my child to, it's like, no, how can I be in alignment with myself and co-create this life with my child? And so this whole concept of self-care and not forgetting yourself, it's really easy because the second you get overwhelmed in your life, or you're like, I have a lot on my plate in my business or my work. What's the first thing you do? Typically, if you don't have good, if you're not committed and devoted to your self-care practices, you let them go. I'm going to stop working out. I'm going to stop eating healthy. I'm going to let go of my social activities and I'm just going to hustle and be laser focused. When you do that in parenting, you start yelling, you start disciplining, like punishment. And then you're like, why did I just do that? And then your children are reactive. So you feeling full is the number one thing you can give to yourself. And it's very counterintuitive to how the ego works and how we're culturally taught.
I wholeheartedly agree. I love that last little bit right there reminds me of the old analogy of, you know, on the plane, if you want to save, you know, your child, what do you have to do? You have to take care of yourself first. You have to put on your oxygen mask before you can help them out.
And you know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
Remember when that Southwest thing happened? A few months ago and nobody put on their oxygen mask on correctly. They didn't even have it on properly. So I'm like, people don't even know how to put on their oxygen mask. So they're like putting it over their mouth and going, why is this not working? It's because you don't practice. Yeah. You don't practice it on a regular basis. So here you are. Yep. It's on. Look, I put it on. I'm like, no, you guys are just pretending that you have your shit together, but you don't. So we have to start being more authentic and being real and honest and doing the work because it's not easy. It's very uncomfortable.
So true. So true. And I think anyone listening to maybe make this a little bit more broad is that you don't have to have a child for this to happen to you. I mean, if you're listening right now and you look at maybe your gym schedule or your eating habits or just your personal development work, or you're like you were saying, you know, your social habits, you know, your interactions, your relationships, where have they dropped? Where have you let something else or even made a conscious decision to let something else, maybe a new job, a new relationship, your own self, a business, you know, entrepreneur, where have you allowed those things or that thing to be the end all be all and let all these other things that you know bring you value, that you know you enjoy to do and are part of your being, but you put them on the back burner, whether actively or passively. And then what happens, you know, that's how people look back and like, wow, like how did I gain this 20 pounds in the past like 6 months? Or like, when's the last time I ever went out to get happy hour dinner with a friend or caught a movie with my boyfriend or my wife or whatever. It's that reevaluation. I think taking inventory of the people and the things in your life that are serving you the most and where you are serving them the most, or maybe the least, and just, yeah, some things, I think there's a hierarchy to priorities. Obviously, when you have a kid, I mean, they literally depend on you to live. But it shouldn't just be that end all be all. And then you get no other priorities, right? There needs to be that kind of, I always hate to say balance in life. I like to call it, you know, a dance, because you're going to be giving and taking. Certain things are going to be leading. Sometimes you're going to be following. But yeah, it was a really unique answer. And I think, again, with children or these other things, you know, in the Everforward space, my audience very much driven around fitness, nutrition, and mindset. So you don't have to have a kid. Maybe the gym's your baby. Maybe your meal prep is your baby. You know, who knows?
So, well, the interesting, and I love how you said you don't like the word balance, because I'm like, I think a lot of people are really starting to see that that's non-existent. Like, it just doesn't exist. But I always say alignment, and you say the dance. Like, I had a conversation with a friend yesterday. She texted me, and she doesn't have children, and she doesn't have a business, and she just quit her job. So she has a lot of space in her life. And she's like, why, you know, I ask you to go on these vacations or do this and you will say no or blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm responsible for a lot of people, a lot of things. And my time is precious to me. Time to me is more important than money. It's the only non-renewable resource, right? So if someone says, do you want to go on vacation? Do you want to do this? I first think of what's going on in my life, right? Like, is it a high leverage action? Is it going to get me to the next level in my own personal goals? And you said something about reevaluation. I do that probably on a daily basis, but at least quarterly, of what's my goal. And I've had to, like, I'm an ambitious go-getter, hence the reason why I could be in denial about my physical well-being for a long time, but now it's complete opposite. And I'm constantly looking. But when you realize that a lot of people that were in your life are not, what I'm finding right now is I'm kind of going to a next level in my life. And I just podcast about this. I feel like a lone wolf. I'm like looking around going, I don't know many women entrepreneurs who are in business who are, thriving. Of course, my phone's going to go in on my computer. Who are thriving emotionally, spiritually, like physical, mind, body, soul. And yes, we have our moments of like, oh, I got to push through, but I don't know. It's like everyone is so busy, and they're not prioritizing certain things. So you do feel like you need to start creating your own community after a while of like-minded people. And a lot of those people are just like leaves that just fall off a tree. And there's a lot of grieving process that goes on too when you're becoming your best self.
What does your community look like right now? Who is in our world, you know, kind of like the health coach world, the trainer world, we're always talking about how to find your ideal client. You know, who is the best person for you to work with, and, you know, how to be that ideal coach and trainer that is going to attract the right person so you can, you know, make the magic, you know, have the most benefit. I'm curious, when you're looking for a friend, a relationship, you know, even just people like in all your work right now, How does someone in your shoes, a parent, an entrepreneur, someone, you know, providing for another person, multiple other people, how do you build that type of community? Because I think that's another area, again, I don't know, I'm not a parent, but I think that's another area where a lot of parents, I think that's an area where a lot of other parents unnecessarily sacrifice is their community, is their tribe. You know, can you maybe walk someone through right now of, you know, like I'm a new parent, I have a couple kids, and then all of a sudden you look around like, wow, I have no friends, or I only ever hang out with other parents who have kids. How do you maintain that culture, that community?
So I always tell people, create what you want to be a part of. And I've been doing this before I started my business. I remember going on what I live in Canada. We have something called Kijiji. It's like Craigslist. And I put out, I wanted to start a mom's group with young parents, because I wanted to be with parents who were like-minded like me and understood where I was going through. Then realizing not all people my age were like-minded, right? I'm like, okay, no, maybe I need to go up a little bit.
Are you still pretty young at this time?
I was like 18, 19 years old with a new son and a new son.
That's a lot of foresight, a lot of awareness at 18, 19 to look for that. So
yeah, most of my friends now, the people I attract even into my community are 10, 20 years older than me, because I feel like I've always been an old soul, just in a younger body. And that's okay. Cause it's like, I need that emotional maturity. So a lot of the people I work with now, or even in my own friend circles, my inner circles, are women who have always felt like they never fit in any circle, and they're ambitious, meaning they have dreams, they have goals, they have desires, but they've really cut back on giving themselves permission to do a lot of that. So like, oh, I'm supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to be that way. And they're unapologetically learning that they can have and do and be whatever they want and find that alignment in their life. And when they do that and they step into it, what happens is they're reevaluating their marriages, they're reevaluating their careers. And then once they find, I always think of like the analogy of like a chiropractic adjustment where you have this back pain and then it's like, you get that adjustment. You're like, oh, that's it. The pain is gone. So it looks different for everybody, but it's people who are just wanting to create that ease, sustainability, and I always use profitability, whether that's in business or that's an abundance of energy or time, where you're like, I got this. Like, do we want to stay home this weekend and just chill by the pool, or do we want to go to a party? And they can confidently make that decision without having that guilt or that fear or overwhelm. And they love adventure, because I'm looking to climb a mountain soon. So if you know anything, I'm like, that's on my bucket list. My husband's like, oh, Heather, you're crazy. I'm like, the bigger, the better. I have no desire to skydive, though.
Okay. I was going to say, which part of Canada are you in? Like West Coast, East Coast?
I'm not in the good coast. I am in the Ontario. I'm in Ontario. I'm right near Detroit, which is the murder capital of U.S.,
Well, I know I'm drawing a blank on exactly where he is, but I think he's either right there in the middle with you or maybe on the West Coast. Laval Saint-Germain. He's been a former guest on the podcast here. Awesome kick-ass guy. If you're looking for adventure, he's a parent, a husband. His kind of claim to fame is he one-man rowed from Canada over to Europe. So in a boat by himself in the Atlantic Ocean, climbed Mount Everest.
That's like next level adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I got to look him up.
For an adventure parent, partner in crime, look him up.
That sounds like fun. See, it's those things though. And I don't know if, having cancer did this to me, but I mean, when you're sitting there staring fear in the face going, you need to figure out how to live and how to feel alive, or your soul is just going to leave your body. Yeah. Now I'm just like, yes, bring it on. Where before a challenge would bring me down, it was like, I can't. Now I'm like, how can I make this happen? And it actually fuels me. It's very weird.
Going back to that kind of area of your life, you know, with the cancer, I'm really curious what your mindset was during that time, because this is another area where we have a lot in common. Again, not personally, but my dad, our father, I'm the oldest of three, I have a younger brother and sister. At the time when he was diagnosed, I was still 17. He passed away when I was 19. It's about an 18-month diagnosis. From the moment it happened, I wasn't there with him. Actually, I found out through a letter in boot camp. I was in the military at the time.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know what it was like to be with him in that room, but I can only imagine getting that news just as a human being has to just be the weight of the world. I'm assuming here, but I would beg the question that when you're the parent, is it just immediately like, what about my kids? Yeah, when you get that news from across the desk at your doctor's office, you know, cancer, that you have a great fighting chance of pushing through that. And I'm so glad you're here on the other side of it. But, you know, with my father, the terminal illness, you mm-hmm. know, that's a death sentence. And so I can only imagine what it was that was going through his head in that initial moment. But throughout all of those 18 months, he, of course, his body quickly degraded, but as best he could, he was just as happy as could be. He was okay with it. He was, you know, with his family as much as he could. We were with him as much as we could. And he was just like, very accepting of it, like almost in a way for a long time, I was very angry about it. I was like, how could you be okay with this? You know, why, you know, going through my whole grief process. But I'm curious, you know, your mindset around that time of, you know, hearing that diagnosis of cancer, but also like as a mom.
You're going to make me cry. You want me to like full blown break down here.
But if just, you're able to talk about it.
I love talking about this. So I'm sitting here staring at you with your shirt that says Ever Forward. And you tell me that your legacy, what you do today, is partly because of your father.
100% because.
100% because of your father. And that is the only thing, if I did not make it, and I was diagnosed with stage 4, if I did not make it, but at the same time, there is quote unquote cure for cancer, right? They haven't found a cure yet for what your father was diagnosed with. And so you're like, 100% of people don't make it out of this. Like, fuck, what am I going to do? But the only thing that I wanted was, if I don't make it, I just wish and hope that my boys would do what you're doing today. Mm. Like, just be like, I don't understand. Go through your anger process, go through your, you know, denial process, acceptance, whatever, but take who I was and bring that energy into the world. It's like when we read inspiring quotes from people who have passed, like that weren't even alive in my generation or the generation before, like Gandhi or freaking, we still talk about Jesus. It's like, come on, people. Like, our whole society is built on people who created what I would call energetic legacy, not material items, right? Not like, oh, see this building? This goes back generations. No, it's the story. And, I think, cause I just want to connect the two, but I'm like, what prepared me for that moment? And I think it was the exact same moment when I found out I was pregnant, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm screwed. and then getting the diagnosis, and my first thought is, oh shit, I'm screwed again. Why is this happening to me? But I had to utilize a lot of the same skills and mindset, which was, I need to show up. And it's in this moment, and everybody, regardless if you've had a disease or illness in your life, you could be backed into a corner where you're trying to like pursue your fitness goals, when you're trying to pursue your business, and you're like, can I make this work? Like, there's always that like bottom of the ninth moment. I'm like, even if I don't make it out of this alive, I need to learn how to live today. And I had a weird, I guess you would call it spiritual experience, but I felt like, so I went through chemo, and that's a whole nother scenario because I was very resistant to Western medicine, but it was a stage 4 rapid growing cancer. And within 2 days, it was like, I went from flat abdomen to like bloating. And she's like, Heather, if you don't start now, like I had to readmit myself into the hospital. If you don't start now, you're not going to make it till Monday. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a doctor. I'm saying this because your tumors are growing so rapidly that I had to, again, surrender to this medicine. I remember watching it drip through my veins, and it just looks like a bottle or a bag of water. It's not scary. I had no idea what I assumed chemo was, but you don't feel sick instantly. And I remember literally looking at going, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just trying to put that positive energy into, you're healing me. And this sounds awful, but I'm going to say it anyways. Every time I would vomit from being sick, I'm like, thank you. My body is getting rid of what it no longer needs. My body is getting rid of it. And so of course you're breaking down and it feels awful, but I'm like, let it go, let it go, let it go. And I had this crazy, crazy spiritual moment. And I actually went to this woman after who does something called Akashic Records. I'm getting really woo-woo now.
I've never heard of this. Okay. I'm all about the woo-woo.
So she had a pendulum, and she was like, I'm like, why did I get sick? Like, I used to do my you know, yoga and green smoothies, and everyone thought I was healthy, right?
I had my green juice every day.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm glad you're laughing about that, because everyone's like, just eat healthy and that's all you need. Don't worry about anything else. So she's putting this pendulum on me. She goes, Heather, you had a soul transfer, or something they call as a soul walk-in. And this moment in the hospital, I had to stay in the hospital for almost 2 weeks at a time.
Oh, you walked through the Stargate, obviously, right? You clearly did walk through Stargate and like transferred bodies with an ancient Egyptian alien, right?
Yes, exactly. So I had this moment.
Old movie reference. Sorry.
I figured that and I'm like, probably, but this crazy experience where I completely surrendered and I said, I'm at peace if I die tonight, like complete peace. My children will be okay. I came to terms with death and it was coming out of all ends. And people are walking, literally nurses are walking in the room and I just don't care anymore. That fear of judgment. I'm like, this is me. Accept me for who I am. Thank you for wiping my ass and taking care of me. And then I thought people were coming in the room, but there was nobody there. It was this like, and I believe in angels, but I don't see these things. So I could visually see lights of people coming in and out. And the only way I can say it was there was like a plucking where I felt like I was completely surrendered and they were plucking something out of me and inputting something new. It almost looked like light bulbs. And I felt like it was belief systems, like unconscious stuff and inputting new things. And I woke up the next day 100% knowing that I was going to survive this and feeling content. So that when fear did come up, I was like, okay, this is temporary. I just have to shift it. But I know this isn't my truth. And it was in that moment where I was like, yeah, I feel like the same me, the same drive is there, the same vision, but I feel more in my body. I feel complete now. And it was very weird. But when she told me that, I'm like, interesting. So she said, it was actually in your spiritual script before you came. So this is really woo-woo. Before you came in this body, you were going to have this. And so that gave me a lot of permission that I can just become the best version of myself, but whatever's supposed to happen will happen.
And I'm sure that's a phrase that, every parent will find themselves saying,
yes.
Because I don't know about, your kids, but me and my brother and sister growing up, we grew up on close to about 200 acres in the mountains. So let's just say we are very creative and with our time on our hands, and you know, lots of things happen that were going to happen. I'm sure our parents thought differently at the time, but, you know,
but that gave me big peace. Sorry. That gave me big peace too, where I was like, oh my gosh, cause you kind of asked me this earlier. Oh, I'm screwing up my children, right? Like they're going to have post-traumatic stress from this. And my oldest definitely did. And I had to let that go. And somehow believe that this was part of their spiritual path at this life in this lifetime as well. So I could let that go and go, okay, cool. I didn't really screw them up. It actually made them more compassionate, empathetic people because they understand that time is precious.
I think that's so powerful right there. Thank you for expanding upon that. I hope the person listening right now picked up on that, that when you have these big things happen to your life, whether it's as extreme as, you know, my family, for example, a terminal illness, or as extreme as yours with cancer, but you know, any of these big obstacles, big things that happen, in your life, and especially if children are in your life, recognizing that this is also part of their story. This is also part of their life. Mm-hmm. I think can really, really help the parent, the person better manage that. Because to think that it's all for you, happening to you, this is your life, this is happening in your story, that's a lot of weight to hold. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of everything. But I have to assume that when you make it more about your family, which I think the overarching message here is, you know, helping develop healthier relationship skills for your children. But certainly in this instance of making that part of their story as well. And I love the other part about what you said about making it your the best life for today. That's, especially in your case at that time, that really maybe possibly was all you were given. And that certainly rang true for my dad and my family at the time, because you never know with these types of diagnoses. Hey, you have cancer, you have 4 months to live. Hey, you have a terminal illness. We don't know how long you have to live. You could, you know, we could pass away tomorrow. Yeah. But you know, it is really just that simple. I think at the foundation of the Ever Forward mantra and the philosophy here is, you know, you have to just push through it and just make it the best day that you can today, for you, and recognizing that the people in your life, the relationships you have with others, your spouse, your significant other, your children, they're in your life for a reason. And it is, you are a part of their story. So why wouldn't this also be a part of their story? You know, you're meant to go through it together.
Yeah. And I
and
just,
it's hard.
It's very uncomfortable. And I see how, like, when you keep talking about your father, I go back to how grounded he was in his, like, ever forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, annoyingly intentional about it, of like, this is what, who I am. Yeah. This is my mindset. This is my beliefs. This is how I'm going to be, rather than retreating and kind of going, well, everyone expects me to be this miserable, depressed, dying person. So that's who I'm going to be. But because he was just so grounded in his truth, it's like remembering that when you are grounded in your truth, people will remember that, right? Yes. So there's a difference between going, I wish I was more positive, or I wish I was this, but that, and then being that, like, that's what makes the difference. And that's what I want my children to remember is, Mom, she was so annoying with, you know, always making us focus on the positive or gratitude, or making us wake up and have a morning routine rather than just sleeping till noon and letting us play on our iPads all day. Oh, she'd always make us be connected to nature and go on these family trips that I didn't want to. It's like, be grounded in that, even if there is that resistance in your life from these people that you care about, because it's your actions they remember. It's not the words of, oh, someday. It's like, be that now.
Yeah. Is it, I believe Maya Angelou said that people will forget what you said and what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And before we jump into the final question here, one thing that just, clicked with me when you, especially when you said the word retreat, you know, like when I said, before, I was in the military, I went into the Army right after high school. My father was a military man, my uncle, my grandfather, long family history here. So maybe this was just a military dad coming out, but I think definitely true to his character, like you were saying, he was so grounded in his belief system, and his truth, that when I found out about it, truly what the seriousness was of this disease, I dropped paperwork with my unit at the time, because if you can prove a significant hardship back home, they'll cancel your contract. You can go home if you can prove you're needed more at home. So I started doing that, and my dad found out, and he was like, hell no. This was right before he lost his ability to walk. He was beginning to lose his ability to speech. He was on a cane. He was very garbly. So literally with his last days of being physically able to move and talk, it's stirring some shit up. He flew out to me and spent 4 days. I was stationed in California at the time. And he showed me what it was to live a life ever for it. He showed me this legacy. I'm really getting emotional here. And he wasn't going to allow this thing that happened to him, you know, to stop me, to stop the legacy. He didn't know what the hell Everford was going to be at the time, but he just knew that I was meant to go down this path. And everything he had done as a parent, everything him and my stepmom had done, our family had done, had set me up for this journey. And he was like, Chase, I'll be damned if you're going to let this stop you. So, that was just so powerful for me, you know, not retreating not for yourself, but for the people in your life, certainly for your children.
And that is what parenting is about, showing up for your kids.
Beautiful way to end that. Thank you so much. I do want to ask one final question, and, you know, and again, sharing with you what Everford is all about, and certainly honoring your work. How would you say that what you do, how you are a mom, how you are a leader, how you're an entrepreneur, how does this help others live a life Everford? What does that mean for you?
First thing that comes up for me is just breaking those generational patterns in our parenting and becoming who you were meant to be. And I say that so slowly because I think 1 out of 10 people, maybe 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000 are actually brave enough, courageous enough to be vulnerable and to look there. But for me, that just means, you know, looking within yourself and saying, how do I want to be remembered? And just plan your day out like that. And then look at every hour, every minute, and, you know, have your moments of falling down and get back up and just be committed to that, going, what is this? What is this? What is this? Because as you see, when you're pulling back the layers, it never stops. And our greatness is always there. So it just keeps, yeah, it's the complete opposite of what we've been taught. So I feel like I'm still trying to gather a language. And I just know that if one person feels different, they're like, something more, there's something more, there's going to be 1,000 people around you that want the same thing. So just start talking about it and people will start attracting to you.
Beautiful, beautiful. And it's clear that's what you're doing in your community and in your family. Again, I want to be conscious of your time here. So thank you again so much for sharing everything. Heather, where can my audience connect with you the most? Where you hang out online? You know, what's your most important work right now that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah. So the work, I'm definitely starting to write a book. Don't know when that's going to come out. That's been a journey in itself. I'd rather have
in the club. Yeah.
Triplets at once. I guess you do have triplets at once. Podcast. I'm always on Mom is in Control. That's where I'm talking most about what is up and coming for me. It's just helping women become that version of themselves in their work, their parenting, their relationships, their money, their time, their energy. And you can find me, like I said, on the podcast, which is everywhere, or my website, Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com.
And of course, we'll have that all listed down in the show notes below. So hopefully if you're on the treadmill or driving, you don't wipe out or hit a curve.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So save it for later. It'll all be linked down below. You can find it. Again, Heather, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your story.
And thank you.
That is going to be a conclusion for today's episode on Everford Radio. For more information on everything you just heard, make sure to check this episode's show notes or head to everfordradio.com.
I sometimes joke that I wish I taught people how to make green smoothies for a living, but I know I'm doing that because I'm trying to run away from what brings me joy. And what brings me joy is helping women and men, families in general, and children feel alive. And sometimes that journey to feeling alive is painful. It's emotionally uncomfortable, and it's not always easy. This is why I created the Aligned Life Quiz. So if you're tired of being tired, you want to stop just surviving and you want to find out exactly where to focus and access realistic tools to confidently manage your energy, emotions, and impact, you can head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/life quiz. It takes you 2 minutes and it's going to show you, I call them internal leadership skills. Where do you need to focus your energy and attention for the quickest results? And also, which phase are you living in? So head on over to heatherchauvin.com/life quiz to take the aligned life quiz right now. If you're ready to stop just surviving and you want to start thriving, but you don't know how to manage it all, go there. It will take you 2 minutes and it will change your life. I also on the inside show you which podcast episodes to listen to based on your quiz results. heatherchauvin.com/life, L-I-F-E, quiz.